Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, March the 12th. And I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, coming to you live from Houston, Texas. And I'm really excited about our show today. I hope you're tuning in. For call-ins, the number again is 646-478-3840, or you can interact in our chat room. And today's guest is Dawn James, and I'm excited to have her here today. Dawn, thank you for being on the show today.
Hi, Phyllis. I'm really excited, and thanks for inviting me.
No problem. Listen, Dawn, let's get right into the show. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was an accounting professional. I worked in corporate accounting and finance for over 20 years, and I mainly held management positions, so either accounting manager or a controller. And my main focus was small and medium businesses that I worked for, so very much the owner, you know, was running the show, so it was owner-operated businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
And, you know, since then, I have transitioned since then. The industry I'm currently in is health and wellness, and we have a mandate of building healthy families across the country, and we do that through our website, thewellnessmall.com, and just educating families on ways to keep, you know, their family members healthy and keep their homes healthy. And ultimately, we're going to, you know, keep the country healthy as well.
Oh, wow. You've got a task in front of you.
Absolutely. But it's been a labor of love, but, you know, my husband and I are both advocates for, you know, green living and healthy living, and I've written a few books about that on my personal site, which is raiseyourvibration.ca. But today I really want to share my ethical dilemma when I was in the corporate world, which I hope a few listeners might be able to relate to.
Well, wonderful. So tell us about the ethical dilemma you face.
Well, about, going back a while, just probably over 15 years ago, as I said, I worked as an accounting professional. I have my designation in accounting, public accounting. And I lived in a small town, not a lot of, you know, not a lot of job opportunities. But a job came up, and I was successful in getting that job, and I was the controller. 10 minutes from home, and I had three little kids, so, you know, that's great. And after about 2 years into the job, the owner operated the business, and he was good at his job, but he didn't really have a good overall grasp of, you know, business in terms of, you know, other than what he did really well, which was sales, not so much on, you know, HR rules and regulations or financial mm-hmm. rules. The mm-hmm. ethical dilemma I had was there was a lot of gray lines starting mm-hmm. with expenses. And I'm sure a few listeners might be able to relate. He was building, first I should tell you, he rented out properties, residential properties, and he had tenants. And there was a period of time he said, hey, I'm going to be renovating a house, but it's personal, but I want to put these things through the business. So, Phyllis, you can imagine, I said, wait up. If these expenses aren't related to the business, I cannot accept these. You're going to have to, that's on you. That's your personal stuff. It's not a rental unit. This is your home or your second home. And he gave me this look. Well, I'm telling you, in a couple of months, I'm renovating this home. It's personal, and I need you to pay the bills through the company. And, well, Phyllis, being an accountant, you know, I said, in my mind, I said, absolutely not. And because we take an oath, we have a code of conduct for our designation. We swear an oath to do things lawfully and make sure everything going through the company is a company expense. So he gave me an ultimatum, and I had a couple of weeks to really think about it. What I decided to do, I knew that there was an accounting firm in the area, and I made a call, and I asked them to come on in and explain the difference between a business expense and a non-business expense, like just to come for a visit and do a, you know, a very gentle introduction for his benefit, because he wasn't hearing me. So, you know, it's hard when you're working in an organization, you've got a young family, and I'm now faced with possibly not just insubordination, but termination if I say no. Right? So how many choices do we have, right? So that was, it was, yeah, do what I say, or I'll get someone else to do it.
Right.
So for me, my answer in my head was, no, I'm not doing it. But I realized you have to know the personality you're dealing with, and different people need to hear things differently. So for me to tell him, no, I can't do it because it's a personal expense, he didn't hear me. And I had to find another voice. And for me, I reached out to another accounting firm and invited them to come in and do a quick explanation as to what would be acceptable or not. Because when I'm put in that position, or anyone, you face high risk. Right? I told them you may get audited. That's not a good thing. You don't want to be audited and find out that, you know, you haven't done things according to the regulations. So for me, it was a tough, it wasn't a tough decision, but I had to find a different way to reach him because he wasn't hearing me. And so that's what I did. In that case, I got some additional support. And I mean, sometimes you do need to get support. You need either a group or you need an advocate for you when you're faced with that. And it was a small company. We had like 11 employees. So it's not as if I could go to the director of HR. I couldn't go to anybody. So you're between a rock and a hard place, right?
Right. So, Dawn, so the other, so the company came in and explained it to him, and he was agreeable?
They came in, and what they did, what I really appreciated, was they told him what was and was not acceptable first. And then once they defined that, they then said to him, they painted a picture. If you should decide to go ahead, here are all the risks. And here are all the consequences, and here are all the penalties. So they painted a very, very detailed picture to him. If you should decide, be aware, these are the things that you are going to be facing, possibly facing, and here's some of the penalties. And they really had to break it down for him. And I think having had that support, having had that second voice, it helped me to help him understand that he couldn't do what he was proposing. You know, and for me, on a personal note, I mean, going back to my situation where, no, I'm not doing it. You're giving me an ultimatum, and now my job is threatened, and I've got three young kids, and I need someone else to hear. I need you to hear somebody else say the same thing I'm saying. You know, and in my case, I felt fortunate I could call out to another professional and have them really take him through, you know, the two options, and where he was going was not going to be favorable for him or the business. And I'm sure you might find that, Phyllis, in your own, where, you know, sometimes you can't do it alone. You need to have a little bit of support to get the message across, right?
But tell me this, Dawn, what made you reach out to someone else? Because I've heard the similar situation on tons of other people, and they took the high road and refused to do the work and ended up getting fired. But what made you reach out to somebody else to help in your situation?
Well, I had been there a couple of years before he, you know, announced this project he was going to be renovating. And I think sometimes people just take it for granted that, oh, you're here, you're going to do what I want you to do. It gets too informal. But I knew, I was hoping he was reasonable enough that if another professional also gave him the scenarios of what not to do, I was hoping he was open-minded enough to actually absorb the consequence of what he was proposing. At the end of the day, I wasn't going to do it. I had no intention of doing it, but I didn't think he fully understood the consequence of his suggestion. And for his own growth, I wanted him to understand what may happen. And sometimes two voices are better than one. I mean, you know, it's kind of the story. You ever see that story with mom and dad where, you know, the kid goes to the one parent, "Can I have ice cream?" And the parents go ask the other parent, you know, and then they go, "Can I have ice cream?" So it's like, if you get two no's, it's really no. But if one said no and the other one said yes, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
You know, so this is where you should be texting each other. Tell him no, because he's coming down the hall to ask you the same question.
Right. Well, that was pretty good that you got somebody else who was willing to do that and come in and help you in that situation. That was very smart of you to do that. I commend you.
I took a chance that he was open-minded enough to listen, because you might have a personality, a person who just refuses to, it's my way or the highway.
Exactly.
You know, it's my way or the highway. And in the end, what he realized was that if it's a personal expense, you're either going to pay it out of your own pocket, or if you decide to, it's called drawings, if you decide to draw money out of the company, then you're going to owe the company that money that you're drawing out. And that shows on the books as a liability. You owe the company money. So in the end, those were his only two options. Either get out your credit card, get out your personal checkbook, or if you borrow money from the company, we're going to record it as a loan. And that was that was the only right thing to do, right?
So what did he do?
What did he do? What he ended up
doing was...
Yes. No, he ended up paying... He was a clever guy. He ended up getting a... He got a line of credit off of the property he was about to renovate, and he paid for the renovations. I don't know how he sweet-talked the bank, but he ended up taking a line of credit on the property and using those funds to renovate his second home. And I kept my job, and You know, and we got audited every year. We had an accounting firm come in and do our financial statements and the tax return. And, you know, I was very pleased to know they didn't find anything and everything was balanced and the books were in order. Mm-hmm. And but, Phyllis, I have to tell you, having gone through that ultimatum, you know, it left a bad taste in my mouth. And about 9 months later, I sought out a different employer, you know, because it's kind of once burnt, twice shy. Chances are there might be another, hey, by the way, I just got a small thing here. I'm just fixing my garage, put it through, and I'll be like, not happening. Yeah, no, I realized that, you know, it was time to seek employment elsewhere, and that's when I moved to a larger organization where, you know, when you've got a formal organization structure, you've got your president, your HR, you've got a good enough body. Some organizations even have, you know, health and safety committees and all these different groups within the company that you can go to them for support or guidance or direction. And, yeah, I ended up transitioning to a large multinational corporation, and you know, everything is black and white, right? Here are the rules, here are the policies, here are the procedures, here's our work instructions, and this is how we organize our company. And it was a much more predictable environment.
You know, Dawn, that brought something to mind. You know, when you go for an interview at an organization, a small one, let's say, and they're interviewing you and they ask you all these questions about you, about yourself and everything, and then they say, well, do you have any questions of us? And that is the time for you to say, you know, what, you know, how was the last person in this position, or you know, whatever, find out questions from them. But I wonder what would happen if someone was to ask, like the gentleman that you were working for, if someone was to ask him, what does it take to be successful in this job? And, of course, they'll probably get the answer that, you know, flexibility, on time, you know, et cetera. But you won't ever hear somebody say, do what I say, regardless of what I do, you know?
Exactly.
It's funny how, but you know, so I hear you talking about a small corporation, a company, but I've seen that same thing happen in large corporations, Dawn, where people have been in the accounting department and they've watched people, not watch people, but they know of people who were stealing from the company. And when they told higher up, no one wanted to confront the person.
Oh, my goodness.
And So it happens even in places where there are rules and codes of conduct, you know. It just, but the ability to be able to stand your ground, I think it's very admirable of you. And let me ask you this. So did he know that you worked based on a code of conduct or a code of ethics?
Oh, yeah, no, he normally does it. When he hired, he hired me. He knew I was a certified accountant. He knew. That. That's one of the criteria for being hired. You had to have your professional designation. And you know, it's funny because the person who worked there before me was actually let go because he failed to do the right thing. He wasn't filing we have a federal tax that's paid on sales, and he wasn't filing it on time, and they were facing penalties. So he was let go for not doing the right thing. Here I am trying to tell my boss, hey, I'm not going to do the wrong thing. You can't fire me for not doing the wrong thing. But you let someone go for not doing the right thing they were supposed to do.
Right. That's crazy how that works out, isn't it?
It's crazy. Oh. I got the job because the previous person didn't do the right thing, and here I am risking my job because I won't do the wrong thing.
So that was my
dilemma. And for me, I mean, I spent years invested in my education, my designation, and there's no room, there's no gray. You know, you know, everything is black or white. There's no gray, there's no pink, there's no orange. It's you know, if it doesn't balance, there's a problem. Go fix it. So,
I was not going to compromise. Right. So, in all your years of accounting, is that the only time you've experienced an ethical dilemma like that?
That was the, that's the only one I was aware of because he basically, you know, he was forthright in saying, "Here's what I'm planning to do next month, and you'll see these bills and make sure you pay it." And I'm like, so I think he saw it as an opportunity, and he wasn't thinking clearly, you know, about the risk. And you know, I wasn't going to do it, but I didn't. I wanted him to have enough knowledge of what he was doing and what he really couldn't do. So hopefully, he grew from it. And you know, I know he's still in business, so hopefully, he's still doing the right thing. He's got two thriving companies right now, so. I think he's all good, and we never got audited while I was there from, you know, external government. So hopefully he kept, hopefully he heard me and he's still doing the right thing.
So do you think that the answer you picked was easy or difficult or you know, were you confident that they were going to come in and be able to help you to change his mind?
I knew my answer was going to be no, but... I wasn't confident to tell him no directly, and because he gave me almost a month's notice of what he was planning to do, I said to myself, let me get a second voice. I knew my answer would be no, but it's that, you know, it's that fear of termination and not having a lot of opportunity, as you know. Where I lived, there was minimal job opportunity, but... I was very hopeful he was open-minded enough to hear a second person, and he was. So for me, I knew I would say no, but I didn't have the confidence to tell him no immediately when he brought this to me. And once I knew that he understood what he couldn't do, then he knew. I didn't even have to say no. By the time the second accountant told him, he had already come to his answer, oh, I'm not doing this. And that I felt good about because... he realized he couldn't do it. Instead of me saying no and walking away, and he's still trying to do this, at least he was receptive enough to come to his own answer, and he ended up doing the right thing. So I was pleased with the outcome, and I got to keep my job, and he, you know, borrowed money personally, and... But no, I wasn't about to tell him no when he brought it to me. And I'm glad he gave me enough notice because I then could go and get the support I needed. That was big.
So, Dawn, do you think it could have been resolved any other way?
Knowing his personality, I would have to say no because he can be very persistent. If he hadn't agreed to meet the second person, I would have likely have had to walk away because I wasn't about to lose almost 10 years of my education to get a designation. I wasn't losing that for anything. So I would have rather have walked away than run the risk of losing my designation. So no, I would have, if I didn't have that second voice, I would have walked away. With no job and start again because that's just me. I wasn't going to, I can't compromise on something like that.
Right. So you did not tell him no. Is that what I'm understanding?
I didn't have to tell him no after all because by the time he heard the other accountant explain the risk and the penalties, he went, okay, I'm not doing this, you know?
Right.
So we had two against one, painting a picture of, you know, risk. And I didn't want that risk. So luckily he heard both of us, and he came to his own, you know, decision not to do it. So it was easier for me just to carry on and do what I always do and keep the books clean.
So Don, I guess my question is, if you hadn't have brought in the other accountant, would you have told him no, or would you have just left the job?
I would have told him. No, okay. I would have told him. I would have resigned, and I would have told him why. And I would have told him, just based on ethics and my own principles, I am not doing anything that's going to tarnish my reputation. So I would have resigned with an explanation why. Right? And if he wanted to proceed with the risk, then he would have, maybe the, you know, I had an accounts payable clerk reporting to me. He might have asked her, because she was in a even more dire situation with employment. She needed her job, right? And she was a single mom, and, you know, I was married with three kids, but, you know, two of us were working. She was a single mom. So, yeah, if I had walked away, he might have, you know, put pressure on her to go ahead and put this bill through, make sure it's paid through the company, and, you know, claim it as a business expense. So, yeah, I would have resigned with an explanation of why I'm leaving. There's no price tag on, you know, my investment in my career and being an accountant. I couldn't, there's no compromise, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
It was tough because, you know, I get this, here's what I'm doing, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I got to feed my kids. What am I doing? I got to pay for the car. What am I doing, you know?
Right. It's interesting how, I'm just going to ask this question. Do you think if you had have been a man that he would have asked you to do that?
Knowing his character, yes, it didn't matter if I was a woman or a man, he would have asked, just because he wanted it done and get it done type of attitude. Although I know where you're going with this, because sometimes a man speaking to a man, the weight of the voice is a little heavier than a woman speaking to a man.
Right.
You know what? There's a slim chance. If I was a man, maybe a second person wouldn't be needed. I see where you're going. I don't disagree with you. But his personality, you needed two against one, because he could be pretty persistent. You know, he could be persistent. So two against one worked out for his favor and my favor. So, you know, he ended up seeing the light. Stepped out of the dark and got to the light. So, yeah.
Right. But, Don, I think that you were right in leaving because he was going to ask you again to do something unethical.
Oh, yeah.
Phyllis,
I agree with you. You know, they say, a leopard doesn't change spots. I'm pretty confident something would have come up in the future. With the same idea. Hey, it's just, you know, I'm just fixing my pool, you know, and can we just, I added a second garage, just put it through, you know, so I didn't want to go through that all over again, so I did leave eventually,
Wow. Well, listen, our time is up, and Don, thank you so much for being on the show, and I want to thank our audience for tuning in. And next week's show, we'll have another guest who talk about an ethical dilemma that he faced. So we invite our listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them.
Thanks, Phyllis.